I remember a conversation I had back in 2002 with a group of students where I was teaching in a high school in Bolivia with the Salesians. And I was the American volunteer, and so down there, they're like, well, he's the American, so he must be an expert at computers, you know? And so I was assigned to teach computers, computacion, for the students, which I loved, and it was a great experience. And what would often happen is the kids would be assigned some kind of project in one of their classes, but then they would use my class, which was perfect, to kind of learn computer skills and different applications to do their projects. So it was great to have that very practical side to things. And I remember one time one of their projects was around life in the womb and then that reality of abortion. And I remember talking to them about it and the shock on their faces when they heard how widespread and available abortion is in the United States. They're just stunned that, whoa, really? I think they're disappointed. They really thought that America was better than that. You know, that reality is such a dark and a sad one. It's a tragic, a deadly rejection of the gift of human life. In the gospel today, in contrast, Jesus embraces his role as the suffering servant, prophesied by Isaiah in our first reading, and then Jesus telling his disciples, telling us, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so his ransom, his life, his death becomes then, conversely, a gift of life for us. And he accomplished that on the cross, his sacrifice on the cross, and at the same time gave us the gift of himself and that sacrifice in instituting the Eucharist, of giving a perpetual gift of that self-sacrifice and his very self, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. And we remember that gift of his life to us, that sacrificial gift, every time we celebrate Mass. It's at the heart of the words of consecration. This is my body, which will be given up for you. This is the essential pattern of the Christian life, the heart of Christian faith and ethics. It is a sacrificial gift of oneself for others, not sacrificing others for myself. That is why Christians from the very beginning have rejected the practice of abortion, that intentional killing of a child in the womb. Now, why did the Son of God become that suffering servant, that self-sacrificing Son of Man? Why did he do that for us? Well, it's because of the great dignity of human beings. In our faith, in the Judeo-Christian tradition, this is articulated beautifully in Genesis, that humans are made in the image and the likeness of God. This deep reality of who human beings are in a unique and a particular way. It's recognizable in our very nature, and it's enshrined in the document that launched our nation, the Declaration of Independence. You know, that right of life, a right that is given and established by God. It is inalienable. That means it can't be taken away. Government doesn't give the right. It can't take it away. It can only recognize this reality of human life and its dignity. And it's an innate dignity that cannot be discarded because of incapacity, a lack of productivity, or because someone happens to be younger than 9 months since their conception. That is why, as well, you know, one practice to get into in vitro fertilization is a real big problem. Because, and yes, I know couples can struggle very deeply with that, with infertility, desperately want a child, and I have great sympathy for that. But IVF is not the solution, even though it's become kind of this national political pandering, you know, to offer this. But what happens is that while one young human is chosen and allowed to come to term, the process leaves other young human beings frozen in stasis or killed. whatever the pressure or circumstances that leads a mother into this situation of choosing abortion, and we can have great compassion for what are their hard situations and want to relieve those that lead them to that, the act itself, abortion itself, is intrinsically evil. And yes, we have great sympathy to support mothers, and we do that in different ways as a church, as a parish. We also support women who have had an abortion in their life with Rachel Vineyard Retreat and different things like that, the offer of counseling. And so this is not about beating up individuals or anything like that, but about this reality that stands before all of us. And what it is the issue that does stand before all of us, the voting citizens of Colorado, is this State Amendment 79. And the issue is not whether there'll be abortion in Colorado or not. Tragically, that's already there. There's plenty of abortion already, and it will remain so. The issue is whether the citizens of Colorado will enshrine unlimited abortion into the very constitutional identity of the state, enshrining that, yes, abortion, this is what we are about. And with such absoluteness that any kind of, you know, reasonable limitation is simply demolished. I think it's important for people to understand the negative consequences that flow from a constitutional amendment of this kind. You know, beyond simply the problem of abortion itself, there's definitely real evils that come from this. The first is that as a constitutional right, this will ban not only parental consent laws, but even parental notification. A minor could be pregnant and could be pressured into abortion by a boyfriend, a school counselor, somebody else, without her parents even knowing that any of this has transpired. And so parents are just excised, cut out of this entire reality because it is a constitutional right. A second grave consequence of this is that this will also allow for taxpayer-funded abortions. You, all of us, paying for abortions because it'll repeal the current constitutional ban on public funding. And it'll force taxpayers to pay for abortions not only for people in this state, but also women from out of state who would then come to Colorado as an abortion destination. What a great reputation for our state. And then a third severe consequence is that being enshrined as an amendment in our Constitution, this is what we're about, abortion all the way through the 9th month of pregnancy will be allowed, removing any kind of restrictions on abortion, even for healthy mothers with healthy babies. We need to understand that this is an extremist amendment. It's a sweetheart deal for the abortion industry, and it would be a major victory for the culture of death. Now, as an amendment, it requires not simply a majority to pass, but 55% of the votes to pass. And so that's a higher bar than normal because it's trying to amend our very Constitution. And so there's a vulnerability there because of this massive overreach. Polling has shown that when Colorado voters are asked about it without details and just like thinking about it as just can there be abortion or not, there's a decent chance that it'll pass. But when the extreme intended consequences of this amendment are highlighted, support for Amendment 79 drops down to 47%, a clear defeat of this amendment. So my brothers and sisters, in this battle, we can do this. We can stop Amendment 79. It is possible to do that. Will you try? First, Archbishop Aquila and I urge you to vote no on Amendment 79. And this is our responsibility to bring our true values into our society and to do that in our vote. If instead you vote yes, and I won't know what you vote, but God will know. God will know what choice you are making. and that this is a gravely immoral and serious formal cooperation with evil. And I would not want to have to come before Jesus Christ and explain to him on my day of judgment why I voted for Amendment 79. To come before the very author of life and explain how I wanted to support the culture of death. Secondly, beyond ourselves and our own voting is a reality that we need to spread the word about the genuinely extremist nature of this Amendment 79. And so we have Catholic voter guides that the bishops have prepared for us this year. And please take one, take multiple to share with others. Go ahead, make photocopies. There's no like copyright or something like that. Get it out there. It's important for people to see this. And it has explanations about not only Amendment 79, but also it speaks about two other important amendments, Amendment 80, the right to school choice, which the bishops urge us to vote yes on, to enshrine in our Constitution a good thing, that parents are the ultimate arbiters and directors of their children's education, and there cannot be an impediment to that reality. And then to vote no on Amendment J. This amendment would seek to erase from the state constitution that correct definition of marriage, that marriage is between a male and a female, between man and woman. And so I encourage you to take these with you. Archbishop's letter is there as well. It's important for us to not only vote and to vote with a Catholic-formed conscience, but also to share the news of the reality of this Amendment 79 and these other issues. This voter guide also has a beautiful brief description of different Christian Catholic values around social teachings, as well as quotes from the bishops, and these kind of three critical points on Amendment 79 are on the back page of the voter guide. In the gospel, the apostles James and John, they kind of try to sneak in and work out some deal with Jesus, and they want to sit at the right and left hand of Jesus in his glory. And what they're trying to do is to usurp and seize an authority that isn't theirs. Well, that is the same thing with this, Amendment 79, and with abortion. It's trying to seize an authority over human life, that it can be killed off. That is in no way our right. This has toxic spiritual effects on our state, on our nation, and we can easily see the increased hardening of heart against human life that is growing as the culture of death advances. And the reality of abortion and that hardness of heart and everything around it sucks people into this, and it's a shared tragedy for all of us. But we do have, as baptized Christians, we have this responsibility, the prophetic mission of the baptized, as we share in Christ's role as priest, prophet, and king, as we've been talking about that, this comes to these kinds of issues as well. Baptized Christians have an obligation to bring their values, these values given by God, into their societies. Other people very boldly and aggressively push their values into voting and communications and conversations. And what, we're not supposed to bring the gospel? It's absurd. May we defeat this amendment and uphold a different way, remembering as we celebrate in the Eucharist every time that life is something given and received as a gift and not taken. May we, in the Spirit of Christ, offer ourselves, offer our energies and choices and our efforts for the life and salvation of others, or perhaps for the state of Colorado itself.